The first, the seven verses which we'll try to cover today. We are beginning chapter 12, devotional service. The first seven verses, Arjuna is going to ask some very crucial question. Which generally, you know, as devotees, we are not so bothered about, but it's good to know, you know, what is best better. So we'll read the text number one. Arjuna vacha evam satasadhitaye bhaktasvam padmipasate. ये चापि अक्षरम अव्यक्तम तेषां के योग वित्तमा. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So it's very clear question, right? So he's asking which is the better path, whether the personalist path or impersonalist path. So do you know anything about both of them, like roughly idea? What is personalist path, what is impersonalist path? I think in the purport
we... Personalist is the Bhagavan realization, impersonalist is the Brahman effulgence.
Yes, yeah. So in purport...
But Mataji, I have this doubt, this Paramatma realization, which is Jogi who focus on the Paramatma future, what's their end? Impersonalist, they go to Brahman effulgence and they merge there. And pure devotee, they go to the Bhagavan
So Paramatma realization also, like, there are two ways, like, you know, if you perceive Paramatma as, like, you know, the basically personalists, they see Paramatma and they see that I am him, so then they get that impersonal Brahman effulgence liberation. But if you see Paramatma as, you know, is Bhagavan, then you get Vaikuntha Loka. This is the way you perceive him.
No, but I think Mataji's question is, where will the jnanis go?
The yogis.
Yogis, the one who meditate on the Paramatma.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you think Paramatma is like non-dual, like, you know, I and Paramatma are same, and you meditate like that, and you see the Vishnu form, you think that it's me. So then the goal will be impersonal Brahman effulgence. But if you see Paramatma as the 400 Vishnu form, and there is some personal worship, then goal will be Vaikuntha planets.
So they see the difference between Paramatma and Jivatma, the other one
physical
Paramatma and Jivatma.
Yes.
So that means yogis still have an option of going to the
Vaikuntha
spiritual planet, right?
Yeah.
They have that option, though they meditate on the
Paramatma. Yeah, because it's a little bit partial personal realization. But they cannot enter Goloka because they don't have complete Bhagavan realization of Krishna, right? In Goloka.
Mataji, I have a question. But in some past lecture, I heard in Kali Yuga, in this meditation process
very
will not
difficult.
Be practical, like it's not feasible that if we will go this path, even though we are considering as a separate entity, Paramatma.
Yes. Yeah, that's what actually this question now in the answer Krishna replies become very clear. See, let's say if we have two paths, personalist and impersonalist path, and two paths are open for us to consider. So now we'll see what Krishna replies, which is better and why it's better, all the reasons. So, you know, intellectually we can convince ourselves what we have been given is the best path and easiest path.
Mataji, why is Arjuna asking this question? I'm trying to understand that.
Yeah, basically, Prabhupada says in the purport, like, Krishna has so far shown different types of yogas. He told the personalist path, he also told impersonalist path, he also told about universal path. So now, this just is leading into different way. Basically, it's setting a path for all of us as a guideline. You know, what is Krishna's viewpoint about this particular point? That's the main reason, actually. You know, he wanted Krishna's opinion in this regard, so everybody is clear. You know, what does the Lord think about this? That's the main reason. You know? And Prabhupada also says in the purport, like, we'll read that. We'll come to that. Okay, so from third line from the first paragraph,
the personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself, not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested.
Second paragraph then. So basically the difference is personalist directly worship the Supreme Lord Bhagavan, but this person, impersonalist, they meditate on the impersonal Brahman. Even the process itself is meditation on something which is no form. So third paragraph.
When we are saying, the word we are using, the unmanifest form, whoever is worshipping, are we considering Mayavadi is different than this? Because there are so many flavors in between, right?
Yeah, like, okay, that's a little bit intricate.
When we are just using this word again and again, worshipping and manifest form.
Oh.
So are we not, because Prabhupada back, whenever he wants to talk about Mayavadi, he was using the word Mayavadi. Here he's not using. So I'm just trying to understand.
There is a fine line, but I'm thinking, should I go into that now?
Okay, fine.
Is it okay? Yeah, then we'll wrap it. Yeah. So then third paragraph,
those who worship the Supreme Lord directly by devotional service are called personalists. Those who engage themselves in meditation on impersonal Brahman are called impersonalists. Arjuna is here questioning which position is better. There are different ways to realize the absolute truth, but Krishna indicates in this chapter that bhakti yoga or devotional service to him is the highest of all. It is the most direct and it is the easiest means for association with the Godhead.
Okay. So basically there are different ways of realizing the same absolute truth. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mataji, you know that verse? Three aspects of
Brahmeti, Paramatmeti,
Bhagavaniti. Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yajnanam advayam, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti shabdyate. So three aspects of absolute truth are defined in this verse. It says Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So if you see, actually the impersonal path also, they are approaching Krishna. But a partial form basically. No, that's what he is going to tell Krishna later on. And also the process is also going to be difficult, which Krishna will explain. So last paragraph, four lines that answers this question. Why Arjuna is asking this. And so factually, first six lines.
Actually, one cannot perfect.
No. Last paragraph.
And so
first six lines. And so factually.
So factually, the starting of the paragraph.
Mm.
Right? And so factually, there are two classes of transcendentalists. Now, Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is most perfect. In other words, he is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He is not attached to the impersonal Brahman.
Hmm.
He wants to know whether his position is secure.
Yeah. So this is one reason Krishna Prabhupada gives, that Arjuna, after seeing the universal form, seeing the 400 form and 200 form, and knowing about the yogic realization, knowing about impersonal realization, he wants to clarify, among all of this, I am attached to your personal form. Now, in your opinion, which is better? So he wants to make sure his position is the secure and highest and the best. So that's what Krishna is going to lead to answer in the answer.
Continue.
Sir, no, next paragraph. We'll go to the next verse. It's okay, right? This verse is just giving a brief outline of what is a personalist path, what is impersonalist path. Actually, for the first 7 verses, somebody who wants to go deeper, they can actually make a chart, personalist and impersonalist, and make differences, What is the process of worship? What is their aim? Which is better? Among all these 7 verses, then you will see, for example, preparation especially. If you do like that, then you will see everything stands out nicely. Text number 2. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Vishyamamuye Maam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Paryupetaste Me Yukta Tamamata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. So very clearly Krishna says, people who fix their minds on personal form and are engaging in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered to be most. So he said personalist path is most perfect. So we'll read the short purport.
In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one, in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna. or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi.
So very clearly Krishna says, you know, personalist worship is the best. So in the purport, Prabhupada is clarifying that, you know, while doing various activities, you know, the devotee is completely focused on Krishna because he's doing everything for Krishna, and that way this is more effective process. Rather than, you know, negating personalist passes, path is like, you know, negating everything. Or like, you know, kind of focusing on mental speculation and learning and or speculating or imagining that we are soul, some kind of, I don't know how the realization works. So there is no active engagement in the service of the Lord. So the senses cannot be actively engaged. We'll see in the next purport, Prabhupada clarifies better, you know, that why it's very difficult, that path. So, but here if you see, you know, devotee is so happily doing everything and he's connecting everything he's doing with Krishna and he's making spiritual advancement. It's so simple and easy. So Srila Prabhupada once said actually that, you know, never was a moment that I ever forgot lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. He told actually in all his lifetime. He says, I never forgot Krishna actually from the childhood. From the childhood his parents were engaging in deity worship, and he always, in one lecture Prabhupada was telling, when he was growing up, he always saw his father offering aarti in pure devotion. You know, then I was thinking what an impact kids have, small, the kids are growing up in a devotee family. From childhood, they see everything, you know, in action. So much, you know, responsibility of the parents actually. So then, yeah, so he was saying that the mood is automatically absorbed in me, he was saying. So from childhood he was always, you know, on the path of pure devotion. Then we should think about this then, so see last four lines, you know, I was thinking of reflecting ourselves, you know, where are we? Pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, sometimes he cooks prasadam, goes to market list, purchase. We also do all these things. We chant, we hear, we read books. We don't know what books they are, but and then we cook prasadam, cook something, and then we go to purchase something. We do all these activities. So then how much, what is the Krishna consciousness in those activities? What is the determining factor for that? We also seemingly do all these things, right? So what's the difference between me and Srila Prabhupada? What
we
is
are
the
thinking about doing it for Krishna? We sometimes we think about for ourselves.
Yeah.
We just want to,
so the extent we are absorbed in Krishna, extent we are absorbed in the thought this is for Krishna, that much it is Krishna conscious. To the extent we are, mind is going everywhere or thinking so many things or like something else, some other desires, so
and
many
out
things.
Out of love and out of just I have duty.
Yeah, duty.
There is a huge difference.
Mm.
We are in the process of getting towards that, getting some feeling of love. And he was already in love.
Mm,
so
that's a good point, yeah. So basically he is doing all these activities, not only thinking about Krishna, but also in love with Krishna. Now we are doing, you know, we are forced to chant, we are forced to read, like that, right? Yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
I can correlate with kids, Mother.
Mm.
Like kids will say, okay, sit down properly, eat properly, don't do mess. So kids think like, okay, it's a punishment to us. Like, still they will do it, forcefully. Like considering myself like the same way. Forcefully you are doing, but okay, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not spontaneous attraction towards the Lord, is not there yet.
Mm.
Like, you know? Yeah. Yeah, because like if you think about young couple, right, to fall in love, right? There is spontaneous attraction. They're willing to do anything for that person. Nobody has to ask them, nobody has to give money for them, nobody has to, you know, no reward, nothing. But they're willing to give everything for that person, right? Because there's so much so-called spontaneous attraction or love for that person. So if we develop that for Krishna, then, you know, automatically we give the whole life. Nobody has to say, you know, did you chant your rounds? Did you count properly? Now all these basic things. Of course, you know, this, we don't have that love, but this is a process. Same process will give that love. Somehow we adhere to that. It's not magic, you know, somebody will not attach our head with hand and say, okay, now we got love. The same process will give that love. So somehow we should somehow or the other, even though we don't have faith, even though we stumble, even though, you know, we make mistakes, we make anartha, so many faults, somehow or the other, just stick to the basic principles, then gradually, gradually our faith will increase. Yeah. So this, okay, let's go to the next verse, the 3 to 4. So Arjuna wants to know what happens to the impersonalists. That's 3 to 4. Yetva aksharam anirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatragam anchintyam cha kutastam achalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hiterata. But those, oh sorry, Krishna is answering. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons, engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. Okay, so now in this verse, Krishna is actually giving a clue. Now, what is that impersonal thing which they are meditating? See, imagine the qualities. They are worshipping something which is unmanifested, which is beyond the perception of senses. So you cannot perceive with the senses. But with this senses, you have to meditate. You cannot perceive it with senses, but you have to meditate. It's all pervading, everywhere it's present. Inconceivable. You cannot conceive through mind. It's unchanging. It's fixed and immovable. The impersonal conception of the absolute truth. And what is the, for what? It's not generally, you know, where. Wherever we are, we cannot do. So what we need to do is, we need to control the various senses, and we should also come to the stage of kind of Paramatma realization where we are equally disposed to everyone. Then they have to engage in welfare of everyone. So almost like, you know, this person is almost self-realized. Then eventually, at last, Krishna is saying, he will achieve me. So this path also will lead to Krishna.
And is this the impersonal path?
Yeah.
Impersonal path?
Yeah. The door is opening. Yeah. Yeah.
Impersonal path will lead to Krishna, but impersonal path, so they will fall down at one time, right? Because
yeah.
There is no active service, so
yes.
They will one time
yes.
Fall down.
They will fall down, but because they have the realization, little, next time when they fall down, they may get attracted to devotional service.
Devotion.
Yeah, point proper also is going to tell next time actually, why it's so difficult for them. So let's read the first paragraph.
Those who do not directly worship the Supreme God at Krishna, but who attempt to achieve the same goal by an indirect process also ultimately achieve the same goal, Sri Krishna. After many births,
the man of wisdom
seeks refuge in me, knowing that Vasudeva is all. When a person comes to full knowledge after many births, he surrenders unto Lord Krishna. If one approaches the Godhead by the method of mentioned in this verse, He has to control the senses, render service to everyone, and engage in the welfare of all beings. It is inferred that one has to approach Lord Krishna, otherwise there is no perfect realization. Often there is much penance involved before one fully surrenders to him.
So basically, point Prabhupada is saying, the purport is eventually. Anyway, as this verse 7.19 says, which is paraphrased by Prabhupada, like after many, many births, one takes Vasudeva is all. That is, Bahunam Janmanamante, Jnanaman Mam Prapadyante, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Sarvam Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudurlabha. So he comes to the conclusion, after many, many lifetimes, this Jnani comes to the conclusion that Vasudeva is all in all. Actually, I was worshipping impersonal Brahman, but I was ideally, I should be worshipping Krishna. So, he will come to the conclusion. But it will take many lifetimes. So, but for that, eventually the goal is Lord Krishna. So, even that impersonal yogi, if he doesn't reach the personalist conception of Krishna, at the end, it's considered failure basically. Basically, he reached one step of Brahman effulgence. But eventually, he was meant to come to Krishna. And
so
other...
practice can also be done in different spiritual planets.
planets?
So, like, what I'm saying is, like, it's not the only platform. Like, earthly planet is where you do the spiritual activities and you have a goal or something.
Yeah.
This goal still exists in different planetary systems.
That's there, but I don't know how it's related to this one.
So, when they fall down, they not necessarily have to come to Earth, but like, they...
Yeah, they may go somewhere. Yes.
Still progress from that point onwards.
Yes. Yeah. One has to approach Lord Krishna, otherwise there is no perfect realization. And the point is, Prabhupada, there is much penance involved before one fully surrenders to Him. First of all, one has to perfect this imperfect, impersonal realization. After that, take many, many lifetimes and then fully surrender to Krishna. So imagine, it's very long process. So, and they may miss the goal also. That's what Prabhupada will tell next later on. So the point is, like, people right now, let's say all of us, who are somehow or the other convinced of the point that we have to surrender to Krishna and are trying to surrender, even though we may don't have full realization, actually we should consider that we have already fulfilled all this jnanic process and all these things. We have already fulfilled the requirements. It doesn't mean literally we have followed this jnanic realization, you know, many lifetimes, but we came to the conclusion by mercy of pure devotees. You see the point? That's why they say person who chants the holy name has already fulfilled all the sacrifices, all the penances, all the austerities, everything which is mentioned in the Vedas, he has already done it. Because he got the fruit. You see the point? The goal of Vedas, for example, goal of Leviad, right? The goal of reading Vedas is to come to Krishna. So if you are already coming to Krishna, means the purport of all of that is fulfilled already. So we don't have to... So that the thing is given to us so easily, we may think it's cheap or we may think it's... But the thing, that's what I wanted to emphasize, that this is the most precious thing everybody is looking for, what we got already. So don't think we got easily, so there is no value for it. The jnanis will take many lifetimes. Exactly. So the jnanis will take many, many lifetimes to come to the conclusion that, oh, I meant to surrender to Krishna. Imagine that from the day one we hear, when we come to Krishna, in Krishna Consciousness Movement, temple, anywhere, first day one we'll say, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, surrender to Krishna. Right? So it's very, you know, merciful Prabhupada gave very clearly everything instead of hodgepodge and confusion and not knowing, you know, what's the goal. Okay. So any points or comments so far? Anything you want to share?
In one of the lecture fellows who has mentioned something similar context, but he gave a nice example that if someone has money in their pocket and they don't know they have money, and someone is asking, do you have money? They say, no, I don't have money. Even though they have money in their pocket, but just it's like,
oh, because
don't
they don't
say,
know.
Yes, similar like our position. We got this track, and but we don't know.
We don't know how valuable it is. Okay. Yeah, there is another incident also related to this. Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone. Touchstone means whatever you touch, it becomes gold. Briefly, I'll summarize. So then one rich person, he wanted some more wealth or something. He comes to Sanatana Goswami and says, give me the most precious thing you have. Then he understood his person's motive. You know, he wants only money like that. So he said, okay, there is outside, there is a garbage can, there is something there, go get it there from there. Then he goes, gets it, he says that there's a touchstone, whatever touch is going to get gold. But he gets a doubt, he's intelligent. No, if it's so precious, most valuable thing, why did he put it in dustbin? Then he comes and he asks, you know, okay, I want a clarification, can you please tell? And he said, yeah, okay, good, you're intelligent, so I'm going to tell you now. Yeah, that's not most precious thing. First you throw that. If you're able to throw that, then you come back, then I'll give you the most precious thing. And he goes and he throws it and comes back, then he tells, okay, holy name is the most precious thing. More valuable than the touchstone, which can give so much gold and diamonds. And see, we all have holy names. So many holidays, 108 times. But at least one name if we chant purely, our life will be successful. But we are struggling. For that whole life, we have to practice. Text number 5. Kleshodikarasteshaam Avyaktaksatrachetasaam Avyakta hi gatir dukkam dehavadir avapyate. Okay, Krishna is going to clarify why it's difficult. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in the discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So the point is, because we are embodied, we have the conception of form. We identify with this material body. So we cannot imagine or meditate on something which doesn't have form. See, we see forms everywhere, right? We see there is everywhere, there is shape, there is form, there is color, variegatedness. Then how can we think of something which doesn't have form and meditate on that? And it's not conceivable, right? So that's why it makes it very difficult, especially for the embodied. So then how then bhakti process has solved this problem, you know, of trying to perceive the thing which is inconceivable. How did bhakti process achieve the same goal? Yes, even in bhakti process, Krishna is supposed to be inconceivable, right? Or we cannot see him. But still, there is the way practically bhakti process helps us to help the embodied. We'll see what Prabhupada says in the purport. So maybe 8 lines, 10 lines. The individual soul is embodied.
The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the bhakti yogi accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind, which can thus be applied.
Okay, so you see the point now, how the bhakti process solved the problem is that Krishna has authorized deity as his personal representation, and it's non-different from him, and it's approachable to the devotees who are embodied and who can see the form. So by seeing the deity of the Krishna, they can see, oh, Krishna has form, hands, legs, they can worship and they can repose their conceptions and make spiritual progress simultaneously. But at the same time, that is spiritual, even though it's made of matter, you know, form. The deity form is made of wood, stone and metal and these things, but still it's authorized incarnation or authorized representation of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a very nice example which we'll not read about this. For example, he says, the post office installs mailboxes in different places, and if you put a letter there, it's as good as the letter has reached the destination, because it's authorized by the post office that this is my authorized mailbox. If you, whatever you put there, we are going to collect and send it. If somebody makes up some artificial box and says, okay, this post office post box, it doesn't going to work. So similarly, deity form, Krishna personally said, you know, I'm going to be in this, or rather I am this. So he authorized it like that. So that's why it works in reaching him. So whatever prayers we offer to the deity, it's going to reach Krishna. So that's example properly. Okay. Okay. Let's read this third paragraph. So for a devotee there is no difficulty
in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly, but for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads, and they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these processes. This is not very easy for a common man. A person in Krishna consciousness engaged in devotional service simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative
obeisances
onto the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. But the personalist, without any risk, trouble or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly.
We can pause it. It's very clear, right? Little bit we get a glimpse of what is this impersonalist path, what are the steps involved, you know, understanding the Upanishads, and then you have to learn the language and understand this non-perceptual feelings, realize the processes. All these things are very difficult for a common man. Imagine, this bhakti process is so practical and so easy, still we stumble, it's so difficult for us. because the idea that we have to give up all these attachments and gratification, it's the most difficult thing to give up, right? That we have to do anyway in that path also. It's not that there you keep enjoying and then finally you realize Krishna. That anyway is common. So then which process makes it easy to do it? Here, while eating, we can make spiritual advancement, right? what else can be more easy than that? Just sit and eat prasadam, we can realize Krishna. This really the verse is there, Nectar of Devotion. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevan Mukhei Jihvadav Swayameva Spuradi Adha. He says the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His name, form, glory, everything can be realized simply by engaging our tongue, by chanting His glories and eating prasadam. By engaging the tongue in chanting His holy name and eating prasadam, we can realize that Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what we need to do. See, it's so simple and easy. Okay. So then next paragraph, last from the first, by the grace of some devotee, so how the impersonalist also can become devotees is given here. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist,
highly learned in the process of Jnana Yoga, may come to the point of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization.
Okay, see, another point Prabhupada is saying is, okay, imagine you follow this impersonalist path, you meditate for so long about impersonal. Finally, you can get to know the goal is actually to worship Krishna in a personal form through devotee's mercy. But then because of long practice of meditating in the impersonal form, it becomes very difficult to again focus on personal form. So it's difficult both in practice as well as at the time of realization. Anyway, we don't need to bother about all this. But anyway, it's good to understand. No, it's very nice to understand that there is a process like this, and Krishna says it's difficult, and Prabhupada substantiates with various points. So last four lines, if one wants to ignore this devotional service,
there is the danger of turning to atheism. Thus, the process of centering attention to the unmanifested, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged by at any time. Especially in this age, it is not advised by Lord Krishna.
Okay, so can we briefly summarize some of the difficulties of impersonalist path we have read so far? What you remember, what you recollect? Yes, I have written down 5 points I think here. Just tell a few points which we understood impersonal path is difficult or not so better when compared to bhakti.
It's
our mind is,
it's not convenient for conditioned soul. Process is difficult.
And at the end we are coming to the conclusion that
anyway,
which we are already starting.
So basically it's like taking staircase instead of taking elevator. The indirect process versus direct process. Yeah.
So we are always, we see forms and shapes and everything, so it's so hard to imagine some formless and meditating on that. Which that makes it difficult, the process becomes difficult, as well as the end point, if you ever want to come to the form, in the form you want to believe, then it will also be very hard.
Very hard, okay. So then, all the points is process is tough. Next point is, it may take many lifetimes, right? Bahunam Janmanan, that's the point. Third point is, we may miss the goal. Ultimately, we may even not come to personal realization. Fourth one is, it becomes difficult to take a personalist path again. And fifth one, Krishna is going to tell in the next verse. Very, very crucial actually. Let's see, 6 to 7.
So process is difficult,
can you
may
summarize
take many,
all
many lifetimes, may miss the goal.
Process is difficult, first point. Second one, it may take many, many lifetimes. Third, we may miss the goal. Fourth,
fast forward.
Process is difficult, it may take many, many lifetimes. Third, we may miss the goal. Fourth, it's difficult to take up bhakti again. It may make it difficult to take up bhakti. Fifth one, that will come in the next verse, which I will tell later. Text number 6 to 7.
येतु सर्वाणि कर्माणि मयि सन्न्यस्य मत्परा अनन्येनैव योगेन मां यायन्त उपासते तेषामहं समुद्धाता मृत्युसंसारसागरात् भवामि न चिरात् पार्था मयि आवेशित चेतसाम. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So what is the fifth reason?
Maybe deliverance is not there.
So Krishna is saying here, I am the swift deliverer for the ocean of birth and death. So in the unpersonalist path, who is the deliverer?
It is dependent on the self rather than...
We are on our own in the impersonalist path. Our advancement depends on how much we can control senses, how much we struggle, how much we do on our own. There is nobody helping. Like we talked about this monkey versus cat, right? Monkeys take the babies. Baby latch on to the monkey mother and jumps from different trees to different tree. Sometimes baby can fall because it is holding on its own strength, baby strength. But whereas the cat catches its babies in its mouth and jumps from different places. So it's on mother's strength. So mother knows, you know, I have to protect my child, it's not going to open the mouth. Right? So this is more safer. So Krishna is going to personally take care of Bhakta. That okay, I am going to deliver this person, that's all. If a big boss already is paying attention, you don't need to worry about promotion.
But the thing is, Mataji, Sri Vaishnavas, mein they say there are two groups in Sri Vaishnavas. One thing, like the cat holds the kitten, that is one way Lord Vishnu will take it. Another is that your own effort, you just hang on. And then wherever the monkey is jumping, and then you just get delivered. So, but both groups are there in this Sri Vaishnava philosophy, which you are comparing it with the impersonalist. But these both are in the Sri Vaishnava philosophy.
No, I don't. The Prabhupada often quotes this with respect to this. Like, you know, one is our, like for example, jnanis and yogis, it's our own endeavor, how much we make advancement. Other one is bhakta, is the endeavor. Lord also helps in the endeavor. That's how Prabhupada has clarified it. I have not heard about within Sri Vaishnava, these two different philosophies. I'm not... Sri Vaishnava means not our thing,
no,
right?
No,
yeah,
no,
so
no.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay. So then maybe somebody who knows may help answer that. Okay, first two lines, I will read it. It is explicitly stated here that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. So the Lord himself delivers. So then... the third paragraph, the Supreme Lord herein.
The Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay he will deliver a pure devotee thus engaged from the ocean of material existence. Those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by the yoga process, and others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as the devotee is concerned, it is clearly stated here that the Lord himself takes him. The devotee does not need to wait to become very experienced in order to transfer himself to the spiritual sky. In the Varaha Purana, this verse appears. Nami paramam sthanam achiradi gatim vina garuda skandam arupya yathechyannam anivaritaha. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord himself. He clearly states here that he himself becomes the deliverer.
Yeah, we can pause there a little bit. So Krishna himself becomes the deliverer. He is promising, he himself is telling. Where else Krishna told this point? That he becomes a deliverer. We read in 9th chapter, right? I preserve what you lack.
Nine,
no, I provide what you like. And yeah, that's the verse. I deliver what you... 9.22 Ananyas chintayantomam yejana paripasati tesham mityabhyuktanam yogakshemam vahami aham. Aham. No, I will deliver. I will deliver you. Do not worry. Sarvadharmam, that verse also he says. I preserve what you lack. I provide what you lack and preserve what you have. That he says. So there in that verse we heard the story about Arjunacharya, right? That story. Where when he heard this Vahami Aham, then he felt Lord is so you know, so huge and such a supreme person, how does it care about one single devotee? Aham, he says, you know, personally, how can he do? Maybe he does through his energy. So while translating that verse, writing in his commentary, he strike that aham, and he wrote some energies in something like that in his commentary.
And who is that person?
Arjunacharya.
Is it in the purport, that story?
No, I don't, some of the purports, but it's Prabhupada in his lecture, he says that. So then he goes out to take bath or something. Then two boys comes to his home, and then mother, the wife says, they say, "No, we are hungry. Please give." You know the story properly.
Yeah, he goes for
begging alms,
and he didn't find anything on that day. And by the time he comes back home, at home the wife was in the house, and the two boys. They came with lots of grocery and everything, and they said that these are the groceries sent by your husband, our guru. Then she asked, "Who is your guru?" "Your husband." They said, "Your husband." Then she said that, "Oh, my husband don't have any disciples." Then they said, "Yeah, we are his." And when we did something.
Don't tell your husband that we gave this, otherwise he will beat us.
Yeah, like
just now he bet.
He didn't believe in us, and he did. He punished us, and they showed the marks on their backs, and she was so mad with her husband, and she said that, "Come inside, I will serve you some prasad," and she cooked and everything. When the Arjunacharya came back home, she asked. "Why are you so cruel with these two boys? Why did you punish them? Then he don't know what he did, but when he went back and he saw the book where he's trying to the aham, then he got to know that Krishna and Krishna's words are same. Aham means, yeah, he came directly to take care of my house. In the same way, aham is right.
He personally comes
to help
because
everyone.
He has a scratch there,
yeah.
So that
scratch
mark has
on his body. Yeah, non-different. Yeah, you can listen to this. We extracted this and we put it on the site. You can search Arjunacharya on lightofgodhead.com. You'll find that it's there on his Prabhupada Vani, but you can find it more clearly. You read the third paragraph, right? Yeah. So next, after that, for 5-6 lines, although a man who has fallen in the ocean
may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service.
Mm. Very simple, nice. Okay,
Mataji, one second.
It's okay. So, so this example is very clear, right? So, we may struggle so much to swim the ocean of material existence, but on our own, we cannot do much. But somebody who can pick us up, it's very easy. So, the Lord who is outside can pick us up. Then it becomes very easy to deliver from this ocean of material existence. The conclusion, we can read last. Thing. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita as stated in 18th chapter, Sarva Dharmam Parityacha Mamekam Sharanam Raja Maha Aham Tvam Sarva Papepyo Mokshayishyami Masucha. We can read that part.
Once you give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness, that will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme Personality, Omnipotent Godhead Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life.
So here Prabhupada is making another clause that even if you feel I've been very sinful, I've done so many bad things, you know, there is no hope for me. Even then Prabhupada said, you know, don't worry, because Krishna is saying, I will take care of you. So you should have more faith in Krishna's words than your own past sins. Past sins are nothing when compared to Krishna's mercy. That's what, you know, that is more powerful. So, you know, don't worry about where you are situated, what birth you have taken. You know, people, somebody say, oh, I'm already a woman, no, what is there for me? Like, you don't like the trans, right? So, don't worry about all of that.
That's why I looked at you, this is my word.
Yeah. I remember. So then, you know, like, we should not worry about all, whatever condition, you know, I'm born, like, you know, I'm born in meat eating family, so that, you know, I've eaten meat so much, and then all these things are done. Once you start taking, chanting holy name sincerely, that's all. The one time if you chant the holy name sincerely, you're already in the Lord's account. You know, He's watching you actually. That's all. So then, you know, it's just a matter of time how we get delivered, how much we are sincere. Actually, Radhakrishna Prabhu, I remember long time back, he used to say, you know, sincerely you do the practice of process very nicely. Otherwise, even one sincere time, anytime you chanted or you did any service to pure devotee or you did something sincerely to Krishna, Krishna has already marked you. At the end of the life, if you don't surrender, He will drag you. Drag you means it's going to be painful. Basically, you know, He will pull out all your attachments, you know. He may do anything like, you know, make you completely poor, destitute, nobody cares for you. You don't have any hope but surrender to Krishna and something like that. He will drag you back home, back to Godhead. So why to get that situation? Nicely, you know, happily, smilingly surrender. Gradually.
Then Mataji, ऐसा क्यों होता है कि मतलब people do make mistakes in Krishna consciousness after taking so much? Let's say Prabhupada's disciple, when Prabhupada disappeared, many sannyasis fell down. If they have done such a good service to Prabhupada, they did it. But then why they fell down? Why there is still that thing that one can come under the control of Maya?
Yeah, because that any time is there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that dur, that thing, that fear is always there, right? That we don't want that. We don't
That's
want
good
that
to
situation.
Have that fear. Good to have that fear that I can any time come under an illusion. So that means I should always take shelter of Krishna and His devotional processes so I can never be affected. If you don't have that fear, then you don't have any guards. You don't care where you go, you don't care what you watch, you don't care whom you associate. When you know that, okay, if I associate with these people, I'm going to get this infection of, you know, smoking or, you know, watching movies or women or whatever. So I'm not going to associate with these people. You guard yourself and you don't do certain things, you do certain things. If there's no fear, then what, right? So that's good to have that fear actually. The problem is we don't have that fear. We think, you know, okay, now I chanted my 16 rounds, so the rest of the day I can do any nonsense, I'm safe. Krishna will protect me. That's what we feel.
Actually, Mataji, I was listening to one lecture of Rupa Swami Maharaj, and that he said, like, with Prabhupada, so like he was paying obeisances, and then so everybody did that. And after that, Prabhupada said, you know what's the difference between me and you?
Yeah,
then you will fall down. I will not fall down, you will fall down. You may fall down.
Hmm.
And then after that, he did some prayer. And then the devotees asked, like, what prayer did you say? Like, other than the normal prayer, what did you say? Then I said that please don't let, like I was praying Krishna that don't let your Maya influence me.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So,
I always pray that.
Yeah, basically he was asking, no, you're already pure, you're perfect, so why you have to pray? Then he said, I'm praying, no, your Maya will not ever touch you anyway, so why, what's the point for you to pray? Say, Maya is not touching me because I'm always praying. That's the thing, you know, I'm always praying, protect me. That's what we need to have. If you're afraid, afraid means it's not, we'll become, it should not be negative in the sense that, you know, I'll become delusion, ignorance and depression, or it should not, then it's mode of ignorance. That should become an impetus that, okay, let me take more shelter of Krishna now. I'm so scared, the moment I step out of the home, something will happen. I'm going to workplace, so many materialists, so many things happen there, you know. I'm like completely, I'm put into this whole ocean of nations and there is no association for me, you know, so many reasons, you know, by that. So at least, you know, I'll let me chant 16 rounds properly before going to work. So many ways. If you do that, that can act like impetus for your taking shelter of Krishna more. Then it becomes yoga maya. Then you know it, because it's helping you come closer to Krishna.
So basically, if there is a one tint of your material desire, there's every chance that you will fall there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's like either 100% or not. Like 99.9% also won't work. It's just 100%.
No, actually, yeah, it's 100% because always we can fall. But Prabhupada said, you know, you don't have to perfect. He gave concession actually. You know, you don't have to perfect the process 100%. There is a negotiation between disciples. Then he said, Prabhupada said 100% you should be pure. Then disciples said 100% impossible, we cannot do. Prabhupada said, okay, I don't know the exact numbers. Said, okay, 70%, 75%. And still they got, they said, you know, it's too much. Then he said 60%. Then he walked out. Walked into his room. Then again, they were discussing, again they went to him. Then he said, okay, last 55%, nothing less than that, that's all. So there's some negotiation like that. No, because Prabhupada is our Acharya, he's guiding us. And actually, Radhakrishna Prabhupada says, we don't worry about all these things. All we have to do is follow Srila Prabhupada's, hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti. He will take us back. By following his instructions. Right now he's not physically present. By following his instructions, which is just simple, which is follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, and whole day, somehow or the other, connect all your activities to Krishna. That way, remember Krishna, that's all. Then done. Our life is done. Somehow do that every day. Think that every day is new day. Don't think, okay, I have to do this so many years, so many. Just think, okay, today is the day for me. Let's do this day. Go on with every day like that. Then we'll see, you know, life will be very happy, blissful, and Krishna conscious.
I remember one like a Haribas Prabhu was saying, like maybe it's meditation or something. If you are confused that some sort of arrangement in material world is going to give you some happiness, then proceeding in spiritual life would be like,
yeah,
it's even not proceeding. You have to be thoroughly convinced that any sort of arrangement in material world is never going to give me happiness permanently.
Yeah.
From that point onwards, you.
Then real spiritual life begins. Yeah.
मैंने हरिविलास प्रभु के लेक्चर में सुना था इन श्रीमद् भागवतम In Salt Lake, he was saying that even if you have a tinge of material desire, you are what you are saying is very simple, that follow Prabhupada, hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti, and if we take day by day, we are going back. But what Harivilas Prabhu was saying, that even if you have a tinge of material desire, you are staying in this material world.
Mm.
Because Dhruva Maharaj,
yeah,
when he was about to go, he asked about his mother. That is why he has a Dhruva planet in this material universe.
Mm.
Because he had that desire.
Mm.
Even if you have a tinge of desire, you are staying there.
Mm.
So that is very difficult.
Mm.
Right? 100%. That is like 100%, right? You have to be free of that.
Mm.
Prabhupada was very compassionate, right? So he had,
yeah,
to give us some relaxation,
yeah,
so that we will have some,
yes,
look forward to.
Yeah.
If you will make it so hard,
yeah,
you will resist back and
then to the So that's why, you know, the safest thing is, you know, if even to follow rules and regulations is difficult for us. We are so fallen. But if we somehow serve a pure devotee, we get so much credit in Krishna's account. Like, you know, because pure devotee is so pure to Krishna, dear to Krishna. If somebody assists a pure devotee, Krishna has a big, what is a concession for that person. Even proper disciples, they did so much service, but even though they fall down, you know what happened later on towards the end when they're about to die? Somehow or the other, in all these people's case, somehow or the other, they chanted the holy name and they died peacefully. You see, say anybody you see, at the end of their life, because they went through, because they had this conditioning, they had to go through this again, desires again, and fall down, so called. But towards the end of their life, it so happened that they remembered Prabhupada, they remembered the service, they remembered chanting, they remembered they were associated with, surrounded by devotees, and then they left like that. That's what happened in all these cases. So that's what is Krishna's mercy. And that because you served pure devotee properly. At least some service we did, and it's recognized by pure devotee, and Prabhupada is praying for us. So that's the only, actually, for us. Even regulative principles is difficult for us to follow. That one, and so many mistakes we make, so many offenses. So we don't have any, somehow or the other, we have to serve devotees and be recognized by Krishna like that. Then it's very easy, because we get a lot of mercy just by serving devotees. Everything, you know, many times I also experience something's very blocking, or like, even recently I experienced, before Vrindavan Yatra, my consciousness was so much into something, you know, so much attachment, things like that. The moment I came back, I was like, as if I'm like released from all that attachment. Just so free and so... You feel like, I saw this person before Vrindavan Yatra, I didn't feel like that. Now what is she saying? We don't know anything, but I know what it is. Like, you know. So, because we have that so many attachments, so many things we are being pulled and like, which we cannot overcome on our own. Some mercy has to come from somewhere. Suddenly you feel liberated and suddenly you feel free.
How is that feeling? I don't even have those realizations what you're talking about.
At least you know something is not pulling you, right? You know, then that means you're free of that.
So basically, Mataji, the spider web, spider only knows how to get out of that. The spider, if you hold on to that spider, if you will only guide you how to navigate through this net. So that spider is Parashkar, Krishna and the Guru.
The material, yeah. You try to get out and step everywhere and get caught.
So more realizations from your window.
Oh, Krishna. Oh my God.
Just I'm curious.
Yeah, more realizations.
Or some bulleted points to
yeah, that's what I felt actually. Kids also became more maybe they grew up or I don't know, because they also attended Yatra, they also became, when they came back, they have become more receptive to whatever we request, you know. It was not so much of a struggle. Everything changed, so many things, as she was saying, whole life changed. Now they start going to Mangalarti every day, and then Prabhu somehow is getting work from home options like that, and then so we sleep early. It's by 9 o'clock we are done, and then they get up 5:30 and they sleep. So everything changed actually, so many things. So, yeah, we don't know, it's because of Yatra.
Please tell us about your Vrindavan Yatra. Sorry, we are disturbing your class, but tell us which
place. Done anyway, we are done with these verses.
Which
but I am just concerned, it's not getting late.
I don't know what the time is, I don't have the watch, I don't know. So, which places did you visit in Vrindavan?
Oh.
Tell us something about it.
Should we talk personally, or I don't know what you think?
Yeah,
she is asked to.
Few minutes, okay.
Few minutes, okay. Yeah, just so basically this time Indrajit Maharaj did like Kurukshetra and Jaipur and
oh,
some
really?
Other places. Yeah.
After Vrindavan, you went to Radha Govind?
No, no, I didn't go. Like the whole 1 month, he traveled different places like that. But we joined only the Vrindavan part.
Okay.
So just we joined only 10 days because we didn't know how the kids will react. But surprisingly, they just somehow it just, they didn't give us any trouble actually. Yeah, so it's all Krishna's mercy. We gave them enough time for them to get jet lag, everything in like in their home, my in-laws place and things like that. You can stop this.